Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bible and open it to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church. We have been studying through the book of 2 Samuel, and today we come to a passage that probably is the most familiar passage in 2 Samuel, dealing with David and Bathsheba. I want to make a statement to you today, though, as we look at the message, David's Sin. And I want to just say this to you. Sin is the biggest con job ever. I want you to get that. Eduardo de Valfierno, who referred to himself as Marquis, was an Argentine con man who allegedly masterminded the theft of the Mona Lisa. Valfierno paid several men to steal the work from the Louvre in Paris, including museum employee Perugia. On August the 21st, 1911, Perugia hid the Mona Lisa under his coat and simply walked out the door. Before the heist took place, Valfierno commissioned French art restorer Cauldron to make 6 copies of the Mona Lisa. The forgeries were then shipped to various parts of the world, readying them for the buyers that he had lined up. Valfierno knew once the Mona Lisa was stolen, it would be harder to smuggle copies past customs. So he had the copies made early and shipped them to places in the world. After the heist, the copies were delivered to their buyers, each of them thinking they had the original. They had been conned. Because Valfierno just wanted to sell forgeries, he only needed the original Mona Lisa to disappear, and he never contacted Perugia again after the crime. Eventually, 2 years later, Perugia was caught trying to sell the real Mona Lisa himself, and it was returned to the Louvre in 1913. Have you ever been conned? Have you ever been tricked? I want you to know that sin is the biggest con job ever. I want us to look at 2 Samuel chapter 11, and I want us to read about David, who was a man after God's own heart, on top of the world. He had just won great victories in battle. He had become the king of a nation, and yet he was conned in his own heart to follow in sin's way. I want you to look at 2 Samuel 11, and you read along in your copy of the scripture, and I'll read from my copy out loud. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and he walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone says, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity. And she returned to her house, and the woman conceived. So she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Then David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah had come to him, David asked how Joab was doing and how the people were doing and how the war was was prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. So Uriah departed from the king's house, and a gift of food from the king followed him. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his house. So when they told David, saying, Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, did you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house? And Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing. Then David said to Uriah, wait here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. Now when David called him, he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. And at evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of the Lord, but he did not go down to his house. In the morning it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him that he may be struck down and die. So it was while Joab besieged the city that he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew there were valiant men. Then the men of the city came out and fought with Joab, and some of the people of the servants of David fell, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when you have finished telling the matters of the war to the king, if it happens that the king's wrath rises, and he says to you, why did you approach so near to the city when you fought? Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall? Who struck Abimelech the son of Jerubbaasheth? Was it not a woman who cast a piece of millstone on him from the wall so that he died at Thebez? Why did you go so near the wall? Then you shall say, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. He wanted to pacify King David. Verse 22, so the messenger went and came and told David all that Joab had sent by him. And the messenger said to David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out to us in the field. Then we drove them back as far as the entrance of the gate. The archers shot from the wall at your servants, and some of the king's servants are dead. And your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said to the messenger, thus you shall say to Joab, do not let this thing displease you, for the sword devours one as well as another. Strengthen your attack against the city and overthrow it. So encourage him. Verse 26. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house. And she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. I want us to think about David's sin, and I want us to realize our responsibility in saying no to the temptations that Satan brings into our lives, because there are some things we can learn in this passage of Scripture that will help us. The first thing I want to highlight is David's location. Now, where does sin take place? I'll tell you where it takes place. It takes place in places you should not be. David's location. In verse 1 it says, and it happened in the spring of the year, at a time when kings go to battle. Now, in the winter time, the armies could not stay in the fields. It was too cold. But in the springtime, it was when nations jockeyed for territory, and so it was a typical thing that in the spring of the year that the kings went out to war. But the Bible says that David did not go. David stayed back. Now, David, we know him as a warrior. All in 1 Samuel, all the chapters that we have studied in this series of messages on 1 and 2 Samuel, we know that David was a mighty warrior. It began when he took Goliath because he had courage, and yet right here he's on top of the world. He let his guard down, And instead of being in the place he ought to be, to have been, he stayed home. It was a time when kings went out to war, and yet what was David's location? David stayed home, and he sent Joab and his servants, and the Bible says all Israel. In other words, every tribe had representation out there. Here goes the army without the king. But David remained at Jerusalem. Now, where does sin happen? Sin happens when you are where you should not be. Let me tell you something else about that. Sin happens when we're not fulfilling our responsibility. His responsibility as king would have been to have led that battle, to have led his armies, and yet he did not fulfill his responsibility. He should have been with his men. I want you to think about, where is it that you have responsibility? You have responsibility in your home, in the role that you play in your home. Husband or wife or child in that home, you have a responsibility. Let me tell you where sin is going to try to con you when you don't take up your responsibility. It's going to con you when you go to the wrong location, when you are not where you should be. I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 7, verses 6 through 10, that talk about the simple one. Here's what it says. For at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. Here was a young man who was thinking, there's nothing wrong with just going over there by her house, the proverb says. And so the writer of Proverbs says, I'm looking out my window and I see this young man, this simple one who doesn't have any sense. He has no understanding. He's devoid of understanding, the Bible says. And I looked, and all of a sudden he's passing by her house in the twilight. In the evening. He had no business being there, ladies and gentlemen. And what happened? In the black and the dark night, and there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. He had listened to the con job inside, and he had followed to the wrong place. Let me say this. In order to avoid sin, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you know what you have to do? You have to move. Our friendships may need to change. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says this, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but listen, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Do you realize in that scripture it says the companion of fools will be destroyed? Do you know what? You don't even have to be a fool to be destroyed. All you have to be is a companion of a fool. So for us to realize we're not going to be conned by sin's lie, we may have to move. We may have to change our location. We may have to change our friendships. We may need to get radical with accountability in our life. What is sin's deception? Here it is. You ready for the lesson of this first one, David's location? Here it is. You don't have to worry about where you are. Just don't worry about where you are. Second thing, not only David's location, but David's lure. In verse 2, the Bible says, and it happened one evening that David arose from his bed, and he walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. Verse 2 says that he saw her. Now, he was in a place he shouldn't have been in Jerusalem. It was not a wicked thing that he was on the roof, because in this culture, in this time, the people would go up to the roof where there was a breeze. But most historians will tell you that it was a known thing that you should not look down if you had a higher roof down onto the courtyards of your neighbors. And yet here was David doing that? What was the lure? The lure was that he saw her. Sin causes you to get in the moment without thinking. David had no way of thinking straight. In a heated moment of passion, he made his decision. He was in the wrong location and he was being lured by sin. What happens is we sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. I want you to think about that. We sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says this, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." But listen, "but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." He was lured away by his own desires and enticed. The lust of the flesh. What are the three arrows of Satan? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the pride, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now here's the truth about it. David must have thought he's on top of the world. And listen, the world, the rules do not apply to me. It won't happen to me. So the Bible says he took her. Here are the lessons from Satan's lure, David's lure within himself. Sin happens when you think you deserve something. Here was David, king of Israel. He was there, his army was in battle, and he looked down, he saw this beautiful woman, and he says, "I deserve her." Sin happens when you think you deserve something. Sin happens when you are the one in control. And we don't have time to go into this, but in the Gospels, Jesus makes it very clear. You know who your number one enemy is? It's not Satan. Your number one enemy is yourself. And the lust that is inside us. Because we want to be in control. You know, the Christian life is all about saying, "God, I turn away from being in control of my own life, and I want you to be in control of my life." It's like a guy driving a car. You know, if you imagine your car is your life, and you're the one in control. You're in the driver's seat. Letting Jesus Christ be the Lord of your life is like you stopping your car, getting out of the car and saying, "Jesus, I invite you to come and drive," and you go around and sit in the passenger seat. That is an illustration of what the Christian life is all about. It's letting Jesus Christ drive our life and take us where He wants us to go. And yet, when we're in control, the lure of sin comes. So sin happens when you think you deserve something. Sin happens when you're the one in control. Sin happens when your appetites rule. Did you ever, when you were growing up, ask to do something and your mom said, "No, you can't do it." And you said, "Why?" "Just because." You ever heard that? "Just because," or maybe you've said that yourself. You know, sometimes it's just good to do without something that you want. Just the principle of it. Because if we get in a rut of always satisfying our appetite with no discipline, we'll be in trouble. So, what was the deception of this lure? The deception is you don't have to worry not only about where you are, but you deserve what you want. That's the deception. So when you think about David's location, the deception was you don't have to worry about where you are. When you think about David's lure, the deception is this: you deserve this. When you get in the mentality that you deserve this and deep inside you want this, Satan is bringing this temptation into your life, then you better watch out. Third thing, David's lie. David's location, David's lure. Number three, David's lie. Or you could think about it as the lie David received. The lie of sin. Do y'all remember, we may have one in the nursery, in the preschool. I used to have one of these things. Did y'all remember this little box and it had a lid on it and had a crank on it? I used to love that thing when I was a kid. Just bear with me here, okay? Pop goes the weasel. Here goes that thing. I used to always marvel that the song and the little thing moving to let the flap come up all happened at the right time. And so I'd sit there time after time and watch that thing. What was it? It was a surprise. You thought it was just a box. You thought it was just that box that played that song, and all of a sudden, boom, that thing would spring up. It was a surprise. And can I say this to you? David realized sin's lie. Sin always has a hidden message. It never tells you where it's really taking you. Now, David and Bathsheba, according to Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10, could have both been put to death for what happened. The Bible says there, the man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, shall surely be put to death. Do you know that David ended up breaking three of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not murder. We read in the passage here that he brought Uriah back from battle. He thought, I'll scheme this thing. I've got a way. You know, he thought he was above the rules. That's one of the qualities of sin's lure, of sin's lie, is that you're above the rules. You can get out of this. And so what did he do? He brought Uriah back from the front lines, and he said, I want you to give me a report of what's going on. And so he told him a little bit about Joab, and then he said, why don't you go down and spend the night with your family, with your wife? But Uriah demonstrated honor by saying, you know, it's not fair that I'm back here when Joab and all the armies, they're in battle. And so he slept out with the servants. Boy, that must have just killed David. And so David said, I tell you what I'll do, I'll get him drunk. And so they had a party, and he got him drunk, and he thought, surely when he's drunk, he'll go down there, but he didn't do it. So finally, David said, the only way I can get out of this is I've got to have this guy killed, and I've got to take this woman to be my wife, because she's going to have a baby. And you see the surprise in verse 5, and the woman conceived, so she sent and told David and said, I am with child. So here's David piling on sin after sin. That's the way sin is, ladies and gentlemen. It's a con job. You say yes thinking you're above the rules. You say yes thinking you deserve it. You say yes thinking you can get out of it. And all the time, Satan is spinning its web. I found this little video on YouTube. I want you to see this. This just gives me a picture of what Satan does in our lives as that web is spun, entrapping us for the ultimate kill. Show that video for us. There you see that banana spider taking that wasp who had just come into that web. You know, when those insects get in that web, just their movement gets them more tangled up. And then here comes that spider down. He starts wrapping up that wasp tidy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what happens. That is the con job of sin. And David bought into it, hook, line, and sinker. It doesn't matter where I am. I deserve this. And all of a sudden, pop goes the weasel. All of a sudden, the surprise of sin comes. All of a sudden, the trap of it. All of a sudden, you try to get out of it. Can I say this to you? We read about David in the remaining chapters of the Bible. But it is all just very simply said, so that we can get to the next place in the story. As a matter of fact, this becomes the hinge pin of ruin in David's family. I want you to ask yourself the question, is it worth it to be conned by sin? Now, David paid a great price, but I want you to know this. He found great forgiveness as well. Because we read in the psalm where he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Ladies and gentlemen, the whole reason we need the gospel is because we are no match for Satan. We are no match for the enemy. We're no match for the web that he is spinning in our life. And by Jesus Christ coming into our life, he breaks the power of sin. He breaks the hold of sin. And through his power, we can say no to the appetites within that are trying to con us and soil our lives and ruin our lives and ruin our families. My prayer is that we would learn something from David. The man was on top of the world, but he let his guard down. And he didn't realize that where he was, and can I say this, where you are and where you go and who your friends are affect your future. And I want you to know that sin is a con job. And if you continue to say yes to it, you're going to find yourself in a web trying your hardest to get out, but you're going to be like a wasp that a banana spider comes down and he just wraps you up. And finally, you have no effectiveness. I want us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.